My talk will be focused on just giving a report and going over some general experiences and observations being in Los Angeles, which is for the past month or past couple of weeks, quite a center of struggle in terms of the immigrant defense stuff and the struggle against ICE and all these different federal agencies in LA. So I'll just kind of give, a little bit of an overview of what I've seen on the ground and then pick out a few main observations and insights, if you like, and questions and problems that I think movements are confronted by in this particular moment. So as folks have probably read about, there's an ongoing, essentially kind of a military occupation by various different federal agencies, not just ICE, but Border Patrol, Marines, all these different departments, and importantly, in collaboration with LAPD in trying to make LA kind of an example for the rest of the country. And so that's partly the significance of the ongoing kind of fight for immigrant justice here, is that this is an important bulwark and moment for the far right and the Trump administration to consolidate its particular power and to show, hopefully, by shattering grassroots community power in LA that could be an example for the rest of the nation. And so this is an important defensive battle that's at work in LA, immigrant workers and other communities, and trying to kind of resist this state of occupation. Just a few facts. The deportations are not new. For decades in the country's history, what's new about this round in LA is that it's a lot more flagrant and untargeted in terms of how ICE is going after immigrant workers. Before June, a lot of the raids are more targeted in the sense that there are specific people these agencies would go after, and it usually takes them a little bit of time and preparation also to go after these targets, to detain them, deport them, etc. Since June, that has completely shifted. A majority of the arrests and deportations and detainments are untargeted. A lot of them are snatch and grab operations. They would show up at a bus stop, for example, and it'll take them 2 minutes to just grab a couple of people, and it doesn't matter if they're citizens or not, or if they're green card, so or not. There's a lot of examples of them just raiding car washes and just take all the workers in a certain car wash, and there's not even this process of checking IDs or whether they're targeting a specific undocumented immigrant or not. Or they would show up to Home Depot and just be basically taking immigrant day laborers from a lot of these buildings, and they'll come back again and again for a couple of days. So majority of these detainments are now untargeted. These are just broad sweeps. They're trying to hit this quota, and it's quite unprecedented in terms of the scale of all that stuff on the ground. One thing I'll go more into, one thing important to name, I think folks have seen, especially in the early days of everything that's unfolded in LA last month or 3, 4 weeks ago now, was a lot of the clashes and protests in downtown LA that have escalated into, essentially pitched battles between a lot of protesters and the police and all these different departments. There was a lot of fanfare, there's a lot of fear and national media attention when Trump decided to send in the National Guard, FBI, right, all these different federal departments. But it's really important to name two things. One, most of the violence actually is coming from LAPD. The National Guard is actually, they're not actually that present in terms of doing the actual policing and kind of clashing with the protesters, and same with the Marines. They're kind of in the most defensive part of this, and actually most of the stuff that's going on in terms of police brutality and violence has been committed under a Democratic mayor, a Democratic establishment, municipal government under the LA Police Department. The second thing is, and something I'll go into a bit more, there's been, some folks might know that the Olympics are set to come to LA in 2028. And part of that is just like the last Olympics in LA that partly led to the Watts riots back in the 90s, is a drastic increase in policing and gentrification. The Olympics, these big sports events being used as an excuse to ramp up surveillance of Black and Brown communities, of working class communities. And so what has happened is that Karen Bass, the LA mayor, has actually already made agreements with the federal government in terms of quickening more collaboration between local police, LAPD, and Border Patrol, FBI, ICE, Homeland Security, all these departments a year ago. And that has paved the way for the kind of violence and the way in which local enforcement and federal law enforcement have been collaborating in recent weeks. So there's a lot of attention on how Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, all these California Democrats are now rhetorically taking a stand, right, against a lot of this stuff. But in reality, on the ground, what we're seeing is complete collusion in terms of the LAPD, even though they might not be directly the ones making the arrests of undocumented workers, they're the ones who are blocking off streets, getting people off the streets so ICE can do their thing. They're the ones who are attacking the protesters directly up front while ICE is kind of doing their thing. So the collaboration between the two-party system, which we all know, right, has been an endemic and important part of this whole reaction smear campaign, right, from mass deportations from Obama to Biden to Trump. That's very much present in a very visceral way, especially as we're seeing how all these operations unfold in LA. Skip to a few things. The militancy that we're seeing coming from a lot of the communities are not new. They're built on various different movements, especially throughout the early 2020s, I would say. So starting around George Floyd, but most specifically around mask distribution during the early days of COVID, Palestine solidarity, and the LA fires, mutual aid around that. And so these last 3 or 4 years has seen kind of a blossoming of this movement culture, which, for better or for worse, there's a lot of spontaneous militancy and coordination among activists and everyday people throughout LA. And there's this kind of culture that's being developed across these different movements, right? People who are practicing, for example, coordinating with each other to circulate masks in the early days of the pandemic, people who are doing street support for unhoused homeless people who are being swept by police, people who are attending to each other when the LA fires are decimating communities just a few months ago, all of these things. And then Palestine solidarity, you know, after October 7th, there's just been actions almost every other day, and not even organized by established organizations. It's random signal chats or group chats of random people from different organizing spaces collaborating to do these different kind of actions. It's so it developed this spontaneous militancy that's building on the kind of existing legacy of Latino organizing and radicalism in LA that has kind of appeared for many decades already at this point. So the backbone of the LA left being a lot of the Latino working class movements, compounded by this kind of haphazard practicing of mutual aid on kind of a mass level, that has led to this particular rapid response movement going on in the last few weeks, where you've seen people coordinating across all the different very diverse districts in LA to rapidly respond to all the different ICE raids to try to attend to these different immigrant communities under attack. On the flip side, the kind of downside of all this is that what's interesting about LA is that, unlike cities like New York or the Bay Area, there aren't a lot of established traditional organizations that have a mass base. And so there's this tradition of spontaneous militancy, but then there's not a lot of sense of people trying to translate a lot of these struggles into independent politics in a kind of visible, organized manner. Platforms, coalitions, more stable organizations of that sort, and trying to analyze this moment and think about how to keep moving forward beyond the kind of street clashes and this defensive work. I think that's a persistent gap for LA, and the militancy is important. The mass action, right, coming from these communities are important. But on the other hand, there's that kind of lack there. So one of the more important moments, and I think this kind of gap there in terms of translating between spontaneous militancy into more legible independent politics and organizations, has shown to be kind of the case throughout the Palestinian solidarity movement. But what's interesting about the past few weeks is that one coalition called the Community Self-Defense Coalition has emerged to kind of gather a lot of radical movements and workers' organizations around LA to coordinate rapid response work and to kind of force everyone to think together collectively across the very scattered terrain and milieu of LA for the very first time. So I think that's a positive development. LA Tenants Union is actually one of the strongest political forces in LA, and our DSA is especially kind of weak and especially more to the right than the rest of the national organization. So there's this persistent gap between electoral politics, even by progressive and socialist electeds, and a lot of this militancy. And this coalition I just named, Community Self-Defense Coalition, and the LA Tenants Union are doing a lot of that kind of middle ground work in connecting movements to each other, trying to think of ways to make all this stuff more sustainable towards a more independent and coherent political vision. And so I'll just briefly end with this. This is an important challenge for immigrant defense work, is a key site in which the strategies for how to rebuild movements to fight against the global far right, in which all that is being contested. And LA is a really good example of that, right? What does it mean to talk about militancy and street defense work, rapid response work? What does it mean to connect that to an independent political vision? What does it mean to build a united front of coalitions from below, separate from the Democratic Party, to challenge this kind of system that's ushering in this growing authoritarianism? And LATU, and I'll lastly end with this, LA Tenants Union has released a platform of demands just a week or two into when the raids increased, which I think is one of the best developments coming from LA. I don't think it's being talked about enough. It's to consolidate a lot of this energy into a few legible and coherent demands that links to other broader movement work too, like housing justice work or the movement against the Olympics that's been going on in LA for the last decade. And so some of these demands that they're encouraging different communities to bring back to their different mass base includes getting ICE out of LA, dropping the charges for protesters, freeing everyone on undocumented or not, were arrested under ICE or other federal agencies. Relief for working class communities impacted by these sweeps, evictions, and ICE raids, tying all of these things together. Having a people's budget, encouraging people to participate in a people's budget, and having a clear stance against gentrifying sports events that the city and the government is doing a lot to tie to the increased policing that's kind of happening. So defunding the LAPD, naming the role of these massive development projects and sports events, and being able to kind of tie this movement for immigrant rights defense to these broader platforms and encouraging different groups to bring this back and organize around this in our communities. I think that's one of the most positive and coherent political developments coming out from LA in these very chaotic few weeks.
My head is on straight, my heart is in peace, my soul is incredibly ready to change history. It's a good day to fight the system, to fight the system.